Father, we're so thankful to be here and for your safety, for our health, for all your many blessings that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you'd be with those that are sick this morning, that those that are traveling, that your hand would be upon each and every one of them. Father, I pray now that our focus would be so on hearing your voice and hearing from you this morning. May there just be a special anointing in this place today, that there'd be conviction, that there'd be transformation. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I really thought last week I had in my mind what I was going to preach upon this week, and then up to about Thursday I thought I knew, and then everything got changed up in my heart and mind, but then it kind of brought it back around. But I was delivering to where Mike works on Thursday, and the forklift driver had on long sleeves, and it's hot, and I'm like, why are you wearing long sleeves? He said, they make us. So everybody here has to wear the fire retardant thing, and so they have to wear long sleeves. So I was just like, man, I was feeling bad for him. You know, it's so hot, and he's out there driving a forklift in long sleeves, you know. And then I get down the road at another place that I go to every day, and the guys that are always wearing shorts are in pants. And the one guy, he wears shorts in the middle of winter, because I always tease him, like, how are you wearing them? And he's in pants, and I was like thinking he might have cord or something while he's dressed in pants, you know. And I'm like, why are you in pants? He said, well, I had a guy who got a splinter in his knee last week and had to go to the doctor, so now they've changed where we all got to wear pants, or long enough pants that it goes past our knees. And I didn't have any shorts that went past my knees, so they're sitting there in this plant that's like 100 degrees, all having to wear pants. And it just got me thinking about laws and rules. And I don't know about y'all, but there's some rules and laws that I think are kind of dumb. There's things that I think are kind of silly. And so it just got me thinking. So I looked up some laws, and I didn't look up when these went off the books or if they're even still on the books. But one of the laws that I've seen was, did you know a man can legally beat his wife, but not more than once a month in Arkansas? Did y'all know that that used to be a law, that you could beat your wife, but not more than once a month in Arkansas? And so I was like, well, that's interesting. And then last one that I thought was interesting, this is from Canada, and it says, if you are released from prison, you must be given a handgun, a bullet, and a horse. And so I don't know how long ago that was, and one of the comments said, so you can ride out of town, so they can get you out of town, you know. That in Washington, all lollipops are banned. Did y'all know that? Grace Mother, she's from Washington, you know. And so I'm reading all these. It's illegal to fall down, or to lie down and fall asleep with your shoes on in North Dakota. You can't go to bed with your shoes on and fall asleep. So you guys that come in from work and kick back and fall asleep, you'd be in trouble, okay? It's illegal. I don't know this, but, and I don't even know if this is still on the books, but in Michigan, if anybody's ever lived in Michigan, it's really cold in the winter. And this guy went out and started his car to warm up in his own driveway, went back in, and he come out to find a ticket on his windshield for $128. It's illegal to let your car idle in Michigan. I didn't know that. And so I'm sitting there thinking, that's just ridiculous in the snow and ice and as cold as it is. And so I talked about Arkansas' stupid law about beating your wife, and so I thought, well, I need to look up an Oklahoma one. And so females are forbidden from doing their own hair unless there's licensed by the state in Oklahoma. You can't do your own hair as a woman unless you're licensed by the state. So I was looking at, like I said, I don't know when these laws were on the books, if they're not on the books anymore. But I was just thinking about how crazy it is, some of the laws that we have to live by. But then there's other laws that are good, right? Like speeding through a school zone, you know, to protect people. There's always laws that are good, but many laws, and especially what I'm finding is many things that our employers require us to do, long sleeves, long pants, or whatever, sometimes we look at as just ridiculous. But I also think that sometimes we look at God's laws with that same mentality of, well, this is ridiculous. Why do I need to live by this? This is ridiculous. God, that was wrote, 4,000 years ago that was said. That doesn't apply to me anymore. That's not for my time. That's not for my day. And there's many, I believe, in the church, and people who call themselves Christians that say, I don't got to abide by what this book says anymore. It's ridiculous. Let's go up enough to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And when I sat down and started doing this sermon, it came so fast and so much, I've had to edit it down, otherwise we'd have been here all day. But there's so much that we can go from. If you're at home and you want something to study, study the whole chapter of 30. But I'm going to jump down and start in about verse 7 or so. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all His commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your wombs, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous just as He delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in this book of laws, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. What's he saying now? I'm going to bless you if you do what I command you. If you do what I tell you, I'm going to bless you. We think some of these rules, we think some of these laws that he's applied, that are ridiculous, and why should I abide by them? And God right here is telling you, I am going to bless you if you abide by what this book says. But how many times do we go against it? How many times do we think we know better and we don't really want to follow? Verse 11, he says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. You follow, so it's just too hard to follow. Here he's saying, it's really not. It's not too difficult. Verse 12, it is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us, so we may obey it? Now the word is very near you, it is in your mouth, and it is in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And I was going to read the rest of it, but we'll stop right there. See, we're given a choice. Life and prosperity, or death and destruction. Now, I tell stories on Hayden and Madeline all the time. And a few weeks ago, I told a story on Keaton. Well, I'm going to tell a story. Many of y'all probably don't know my nephew, Ethan. His dad's a pastor at Huntington Assembly of God. But I noticed when I've been passing him lately, he's been speeding. And Crystal's like, we might need to tell his mom and dad how fast he's going. I said, no, I'll have a talk with him. So I told him. When I seen him, I said, Ethan, I've been seeing you going down Highway 378. And I said, you're driving way too fast. Deer, dogs, everything else. You need to slow down. I told him that on a Sunday. The next Saturday, he's going to a family reunion in Oklahoma. And you know what happens to him? He gets pulled over. I think was he going 60 in a 45? Something like that. Gets pulled over. And I said, Mommy, what's happening? And I said, there it is. I was wondering before it even happened. Something bad's going to happen. I asked his girlfriend last night, I said, so has he slowed down since he's got that ticket? He said, yeah, he slowed down since he's got that ticket. It took punishment. It took something happening, though, before he finally said, oh, I ain't got an extra $225 laying around to slow down. At least it was just a ticket and not an accident or something worse, y'all. And many of us, we live in rebellion to God's laws. We live in rebellion to what God tells us to do. And then we wonder why our lives aren't running smooth, why our businesses are failing, why we can't get ahead, why our families are falling apart. And we wonder why. But did I ever stop to read the owner's manual on what we should be doing and how we should be living? I said before you today, life and prosperity. How many of you want life and prosperity? I do. Or death and destruction. See, many of us say we want life and prosperity, but do we really want to do what it takes to live that out? Just like dieting or working out. I want to be in better shape, I say. But do I really want to go to the gym and exercise? Do I really want to go out jogging or running or walking even? No. I don't want to. Do I want to eat better? I want to lose weight, but I still like my burritos and tacos and pizza and hamburgers and curly fries. I mean, that's all good stuff. I want to eat Brussels sprouts. I don't want to eat broccoli. So I say I want, but my actions don't live it out. My actions don't show it. And many of us are right there with God in His Word. And we say we want to live a life of prosperity. We say we want to live for the Lord and live blessings in our lives. But many of us just refuse to live it out. Now in Matthew 5, some of you might say, well, I've had people tell me, well, the law doesn't apply to us. Let's see what Jesus says. Matthew 5:17, He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will in any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus right there is saying, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. And then you look a little bit further, and what happens? And this is where I hope you're going to get a little uncomfortable. It's all right to get uncomfortable sometimes. It's a good thing to get uncomfortable sometimes because it makes us look at our lives and say, what am I doing, okay? Where Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish, but I came to fulfill. And look at how He steps it up in verse 21 here. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell." So He says, not only mine, but you're just angry. And when you're angry, that's just like murdering. And this is what I had initially planned on preaching on, was how everybody's so angry these days. Have y'all noticed that? Everybody's so angry. I said in the first 21 years of driving and being out and on the road delivering, I maybe got flipped off 2-3 times. 21 years. In the last year and a half, I get cussed at, fish shaking out the window, and that almost once a month now. In my eyes, 99% of the time, I'm doing nothing wrong. It's just people are angry. I had a driver the other day. I've got a green light to turn left, but he's pulled so far out, I thought, I probably can't make that turn comfortably. I'm just going to have to wait just a second on him. And I stopped a little bit behind the white line. I got out of the way because I know he's going to have to swing wide. He swings out, coming at me like he's going to hit me head on, and begins to scream and cuss at me. And at the last minute, swerves to keep from hitting me.
What's wrong with people?
I can tell you story after story after story, and I drive my family crazy with telling these sad stories of road rage. Did y'all see this one? Oregon or Washington, a guy turns on his windshield washer fluid, and the only thing they can figure is there was a BMW following him, and some of the spray from his windshield washer fluid hit that BMW. The BMW begins to drive erratically and stuff, and the guy and his 18-year-long girlfriend says he must be having a bad day. They weren't angry. They slowed down to let the guy go ahead. Guy, 2 or 3 miles down the road, they see the guy's pulled off the road. He comes back out on the road, pulls up, and shoots and kills the man for windshield washer fluid getting on his BMW. We think, as long as you don't commit murder, then most of us have enough restraint that we would never murder someone. But Jesus is telling us here that I tell you, anyone who is angry, why is he giving us that warning? Have any of you ever been mad about something and you let it fester? And what happens? It builds, and it builds, and it builds. And then before long, you're saying something, you're acting out, you're doing something. This was probably 7, 8 years ago when I was preaching here, and I got so mad about something. I went out in the yard and I had one of them garden hose, and I took it against a tree and I broke it. And then I pick it up and I took it against a tree and I broke it again. And then I looked down and both my hands are covered in blood because that thing had splintered and got splinters all in my hands. And I thought, you idiot, look at what you just did to yourself, because I was angry. Thank goodness it was a garden hoe and not me reacting to someone at work or a customer or someone driving down the road that cut me off. But y'all, when we allow that anger to fester and build in our life. See, we say God's laws, we look at them like the beating your wife or lollipops or whatever. We look at sometimes at God's law and say they're so ridiculous, but why is God's law so important? Because He wants to protect us. And He's saying, I'm telling you, don't even murder, but don't be angry with people. Let that anger go. In Ephesians 4:26 and 27, if I can find it. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. See, right there is a good reason to not allow anger into your life, because it gives the devil a foothold. It gives the devil a foothold. It gives the devil a place that when you're so full of anger that all of this anger might explode at work, it might explode at home, that anger is giving Satan a way to get into your life, and all at once it's overflowing out of you in Walmart or in the grocery store or whatever, but all at once, and there's times that I've had to stop in my life and I've had to say, God, what is wrong with me? Why am I so angry? What? Because I'm mad at everybody. So who's the common denominator if you're mad at everybody? It's you. You're the common denominator. Why am I so angry? And I've had to stop and I've had to reflect. Now, that guy that cussed me last week, turning and coming at me like he's going to hit me head on. I wanted to be angry. What I really wanted to do is turn around and chase him down and talk to him. I had to fight through saying, God, that man must need you for him to act that way. That man must need you, Jesus, because for someone to be so full of rage over nothing. And I had to pray. And I had to come back and I'd go mad again. And I had to stop and I had to pray. And I had to get that out of me. Because what was in me was not very nice. And I had to not allow Satan to have a foothold in my life. So I'd take it out on someone else and I'd take it out on this person. And you know what I kind of found out? You want a little confession. I said, Lord, why am I getting this reaction from so many people lately? Why is everybody angry? And the verse about reaping what you sow came to my mind. And I was like, well, I'm not acting that way. Oh yeah, you're not? Remember that express guy that had the door blocked and you couldn't get in? Remember that truck that pulled up so close that you could barely back in and he was just sitting there in your way, and remember how you reacted? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I didn't cuss, I didn't flip him off, I didn't act like that, but I was upset. And hey, can you not see people's trying to get in here? Can you not back up a little bit? Is kind of what I said. You reap what you sow, and God brought to light. I hadn't been sowing that much joy, that much peace, and I've had some anger issues my own. Don't give the devil a foothold. Verse 31 through 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, those people that are so angry, those people that are so bitter, and you think, how many times have I been angry? How many times have I acted foolish, yet God forgave me? Can we not forgive those around us and really get rid of that bitterness and that anger and that's so deep inside of so many of us? Proverbs 29:11 says, fools give full vent to their anger, but the wise bring calm in the end. Are you foolish or are you wise? Do you add to and stoke the fire? Or are you someone that will rein it in and say, I'm not going to react that way? They need forgiveness. They need grace. They need mercy just like I do. God's law. So then, I thought about some other things that people struggle with so often. In Jesus, where He says, not only do not murder, but don't be angry. And then something else He says, and just a little bit past that, in 5:27 through 30. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. I think it's interesting there that Jesus refers twice there about going to hell. And He's saying, you know, they would think, well, if I don't go into that shrine with those prostitutes, if I don't actually commit adultery, I'm okay. But Jesus took it up a notch. If you're even looking lustful at a woman, you commit adultery. He's saying, gouge out your eye. It's better than to go to hell. We've discussed this on Sunday nights. We've discussed this in great detail. You can still sin even without an eye. You can still sin even without a hand. But what He's saying is you need to get your eyes under control. You need to be careful with what you're looking at and where your eyes are going. I saw a lady yesterday, Friday. Saw a lady Friday I graduated school with. No, she's a year ahead of me in school. I'll get the story right in a minute. Just asked her how she was doing, and she just kind of making small talk. I was like, living the dream. And she said, no, I'm living a nightmare. And so I'm like, people's everywhere were crowded. Had a doctor's appointment we had to get to. And I'm like, what can of worms did I just open? She said, I've lost my two oldest children. I said, what? She said, my son, he was in an apartment and someone set it on fire and he didn't get out. And he died. My daughter, She's 28, had a massive heart attack and died. Still got my two youngest. I think her youngest is severely autistic, and so she's like, I'll always have him. I take care of him. But she said, it's hard. And she said, what's so hard is my kids weren't living for the Lord. And she said, I can't hardly bear the thought that they're in hell now. She said, people come up to me and they say, oh, I'm sure they went to heaven. I'm sure they're there. She said, but they don't believe the way I believe, and they don't read the Bible the way that I read the Bible. And she said, I don't know if they're there or not, and it torments me. Well, you want to talk about ripping out somebody's heart. Y'all, when the Lord says, don't be angry, when the Lord says, quit looking at these women, at these men, lustfully, He's warning us because there's consequences to our action. In our society today, in our lives today, nobody spanks their kids, nobody disciplines their kids, nobody says there's going to be consequences if you act up. And so we learn to not submit to God because we say, oh, He loves us just like Mom and Dad loves me. Mom and Dad lets me do everything I want. Two warnings about hell here. We say, oh, I believe, but are we believing that we know it's true and acting on it? Or are we just saying, I believe, but someday I'll get it right. Someday I'll ask God to forgive me. Someday I won't follow that path. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 through 20, when I start in the middle of stuff, it's harder for me to find it. He says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the member of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. I think that's interesting that he says flee. He's saying run, get away from it, that you don't need to look at it, you don't need to be with that person, you don't need to be with whatever it is, if it's television, if it's computer, if it's a phone, if it's at the grocery store, or if it's a person that you're in a relationship with. He says flee from it. Why? All other sin a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Proverbs 6:32 says, but a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. I would say to you guys, how many of us truly want to destroy ourselves, but we say we don't, but not in just sexual sin, but how many of us destroy ourselves with the foods we eat and the lives we live? And then we go, oh wait, it's too, why am I hurting? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Are we following the instruction manual? Are we following what God says to do? Proverbs 5. And I really encourage you to read the whole chapter here, but I'm gonna try and cut it a little bit short due to time. But he says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Does Satan not know how to pull us in? Satan knows how to pull us in. Maybe yours is anger today. Maybe yours is lust. Maybe it's greed. I don't know, but Satan knows how to push my buttons. He knows how to get me off track. I'm not standing up here preaching to y'all. This is for me too. He knows how to get me in a position to where I'm going to fail. And that's what the dripping with honey and the small owl, then her speech. I mean, he knows how to entice us. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. I think it's interesting there that he's saying that it's going to lead you to death. It's going to lead you to destruction. And that person that's leading you, they're so lost and blind, they don't even know it themselves. Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toils enrich another man's house. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I've hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. Hated discipline, spurned correction. When the Holy Spirit's telling you to stop, when the Holy Spirit's saying wait, when the Holy Spirit is saying get away, when the Holy Spirit is saying flee, and we don't listen, that's where we're going to end up. Verse 13, I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. Oh, that won't happen to me. That won't happen to me. I can maintain. I'm strong enough. I can handle it. Can you? Really? Can you? The end of that says, verse 22 and 23, the evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. God loves you so much. You know that? That's true. God loves you so much that the discipline and the correction and the laws are for our own good. It's not to keep us from having fun. It's not to keep us from enjoying life. It's to protect us. I often think about a story. I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and it's weird that I can remember it. But we lived in Michigan at that time, where the law is you can't warm up your car, remember? we lived in Michigan at the time, and there's a road called Sprinkle Road, and it is like Rogers Avenue on crack. It's like track everywhere, and it's like, I think the speed limit is probably 55 or so. It's a moving fast road, and it's a, what would it be, 2 lanes on each side and a turn lane. So is that 5 lanes of traffic going? And we had a flat tire. And it was just me and my mom. And it had been snowing. And the slush is getting thrown up on our car as we're on the shoulder. But we were behind my grandparents' house on the opposite side of the road. And there was a field probably 10 acres or so. And then there was their house. And I recognized that. That's where my grandparents live. And my mom, we didn't have cell phones back then. And she's like, what are we going to do? I said, Mom, I got a grandfather and tell him to come and get you. No, you're not. Mom, what is this right there? Traffic. I can make it. I promise, Mom, I can make it. I don't know how to cross that road and have your grandfather. They can help us. You're not getting out of that seat. That's what she told me. In my mind, as a 3 or 4 year old kid, I thought, I can save the day. I can get to Grandpa's house. He'll come change the flat for Mom. I can help. But in reality, what my mom knew is if I took off across that road, I wouldn't make it to the other side. She knew better. In the end, a guy in a Corvette and a leather jacket pulled up and changed our flat. And he's sitting there getting splashed with slush and everything else that's flying up on his back as he's changing our flat. And my mom always thought he was a guardian angel sent to change her flat, because just he was so nice, stopped and did it. I didn't have to cross the highway. Why wouldn't my mom let me cross that highway? Because she knew better. Why does God tell you, don't be angry? Don't get taken into lust and adultery. Why does God tell us that? It's for our own good, to protect us. Even when we think we know best, even when we think, I can make it, I can do it. I'm going to have to wrap this up. 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. The reason why I wanted to read that, because of the pride of the boasting of what he has and does, is not from God. And many of us are so prideful, we say, I can handle this, I can do it, I know better. God, why wouldn't you allow me to do this? It's natural, it's fun, or you know, did you see what he did to me? And y'all, we could sit here all day and go through all 10 commandments. I preached on the 10 commandments, I think, in last September, October, and went through all of them. But it's still relevant. It's still relevant for your life and my life. Why? Because God loves you so much, and he wants the best for you. You follow his ways. You follow his ways, and it's going to save you so much regret, so much pain, so much hurt. We read in Deuteronomy, he said, I'm going to bless you if you do and you obey what I command you. I'm going to bless you mightily. Some of you might say, well, Pete, I've been following him, and man, I'm still struggling. We'll keep struggling and keep going, but don't give up, because sometimes our blessing may not come till we get to heaven, and then we'll be rewarded to what we did. But y'all, do not look at this book and the laws that God has and say, that's outdated, that's old-fashioned, that's not for me, because it is for us. And then even more. Murder? No, don't even hate people. Don't commit adultery? No, don't even be looking lustfully. Flee, flee, flee. Get it away from you. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness for the times that I've rebelled and thought that I know better, the times that I've just rebelled and went opposite to what your word has said, and I do know better. Father, please forgive me for that, and forgive this church for the times that we've rebelled and tried to do it on our own and not really sought you. Lord, if anyone here is struggling today with lust, with anger, with greed, with idolatry, with jealousy, with envy. Father, if anyone's struggling here today, and or maybe they're just so full of pride that they say, I can handle it on my own. Lord, may they realize that they can't handle it on their own, and may they come before you now and humbly ask for forgiveness, and humbly ask, Lord, for you to come in and change their lives. Lord, we know that you can bring deliverance to each and every one of us. We know that there is victory found only in you. Lord, you know the areas in my life that I need victory. How often I struggle. But may I understand how much you love me, and that you don't want me to fail. You don't want me to live with those regrets, and that if I would just follow what you say, you would make a way. May each of us come to understand. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Church, there's victory in Jesus. If you've been struggling, you don't have to struggle anymore. God can forgive. God can deliver when we follow His ways. Wipe away your past. How awesome is that? Y'all lived and done stuff that you wish you'd have never done, that you regret every day of your life. God can wipe it away. As far as the east is from the west, He can forgive you. But then He's saying, follow me because I know best. Follow my ways. If you need prayer this morning, won't you come?
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you, 'cause you are my King. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King.
Have any of y'all ever been like sitting in the living room and air conditioning's gone, and it's a maybe Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, or and you just feel so sleepy, and you go, why am I so sleepy? I had a good night's sleep. Anybody ever done that? But then you get up and you start doing something, and I want your wide awake. Like I do that quite often. I'll be sitting there like just dragging, and I'll get up and go outside or do something, and all at once I have something to do, and we'll run to Fort Smith, and then all at once I'm way out of late. And I was just thinking, like, you know, sometimes it's that way with the Lord. And He says, wake up. Wake up. Some of you might say, I've been sitting here so long in church, I've been hearing these verses so long, I've just grown so accustomed to it. You know how you wake up in the Lord? You begin to pray. You begin to read His Word, and you need to act on what it says. You don't just hear it, but you live it. And you'll wake up. And then all at once, you'll see something in a brand new way, and you'll go, wow! I'm alive again! Hope you guys all make it back next week to hear Charles. I'm sure God's going to bless you mightily. I'll watch it on YouTube, and then the next week for Jacob. And you